Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a wine from Australia that is loved by critics far and wide in the Pinley Estate Phoenix Cabernet from Coonawarra. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, the Triple B has familia obligations. So that means it's just I and the unlicensed taxi driver.
The haggard one.
The haggardly. Yes.
The horrible.
Are you suggesting that R. Lopez was haggard? Maybe a little peaked, not haggard.
It was haggard.
Well, it was haggard. Well, maybe the other five bottles won't be, but yeah. I know. On tonight's show, folks, we are actually sitting here on the 4th of July, and the best way we knew how to drink, or to celebrate the 4th of July, to respect America, was to drink a wine from Australia, as most Americans do.
There you go.
I know. On tonight, I was going to do an American wine, but what the hell? Well, no. Maybe Italian. It wasn't going to be American. We were doing two wines tonight, and one's Australian, and then the next one is French. So it's like, oh, well. USA number one.
Somewhere in there's some American heritage, I think.
Well, no.
How do you link Australia to America? You really don't.
No, you don't. Roughly the same. The landmass is similar. It's, you know, there's that.
Mm, yeah.
You know, there's a lot more snakes in Australia. So
that depends on what part of the country you're in. You know, if you're in North Carolina, they've got a lot of different species of poisonous snakes.
Yeah, but they're a lot bigger in Australia.
Usually, some. Well, not the most venomous ones are actually small little guys.
Well, I know. Well, Black Mamba's pretty big.
Black Mamba's pretty big.
Pretty big. I don't know. A lot of pythons. I'm scared of pythons. You know.
You're just scared.
Yes. Well, on tonight's show, folks, we have the Pinley Estate. And I think some of you probably have heard of Pinley Estate.
It's been getting a lot of acclaim in our little wine circle.
It has been. And this is their Phoenix Cabernet. It's from Coonawarra in Australia.
It's just fun to say, Coonawarra.
It is, and you can pronounce it naturally. But 100% Cabernet. And the Phoenix line is their baseline. Currently, I mean, it ranges. I believe your cousin can buy it at Costco in Chicago for $12.99.
I think it was $12.99 or $13.99. I'd have to look at the text.
We get this on wine.com for $18.99. However, when it first came out, it was $24.99. It's a wide range of prices.
And you see some prices in the $17.99, mm-hmm. $16.99 range online.
I think the website shows it as $20. And by the way, Pinley, get a better website. I'm just saying. Well, and they're already rolled over to their 20 Cabernet, but it's not out yet. We're drinking the 19, and we're going to stay drinking the 19 because the 19 supposedly is good. I have both the 18 and the 19, although the 16 was also quite good. And you go back, and as long as they've been reviewing stuff, Pinley Estates, their Cabernets do really, really well. They don't submit their Shirazes for review. Take that for what you will. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe the Shirazes aren't any good. I don't know. There always are these little niche value priced Australian wines. I remember back years ago, Poringa was one. Hmm. It was a Shiraz, but it always got a 90, a 91. Shield has changed up a little bit. For the longest time, Shield Estates, their Australian, their Shirazes, they were Barossa, and they were under 20. Those things were brick house motherfuckers. Becky and I have drank a couple of them, and they were engine oil. They were that dark and heavy.
Hmm.
And they were old too when we got around to them. They were like 15 years old when I was drinking those, and they were powerful. We did the Thomas Goss in the show. I believe that was released. We've also, and you know, that was a powerful, beastly son of a bitch. Maybe a little bit too powerful and beastly. We've also done the Peter Lehman's, the Cabernet, and the Shirazes, but that's never aired because those are so dull, even though the layman, the Shiraz got really high reviews. What was it, 91, 92?
It was.
We didn't give it that. I think we gave it 87. It was mid.
We were.
It wasn't very good.
It was fine.
It was fine, but it certainly didn't deserve a 92.
It had merit. It was worth drinking, but yeah. I don't think we gave it. I think we recommended it ish.
And we also have a Greg Norman Shiraz in the queue. It might be in the green room for quite some time, but it's going to have to.
It's been in the queue for some time, I think. More than a year?
No, it's not been that long. No. But it's like, you know, you got to like, what are we going to do with that? Second episode, maybe. I don't know, we'll see. We've done it, though, before. We've done the Camera Low, I think, from them. So, but Poringa, oh, I'm sorry, not Poringa, Penley Estates. They have four lines, I believe, and they're a little odd. Did you pull up the website?
Yeah. So it's now it's completely female owned with the passing of one of the originators and
natural causes.
Probably. Female. They didn't kill maker.
They
did as well.
Did
so
they kill him?
If you want to support, what is this? An Agatha Christie novel?
They offed him. We've got to get rid of that dirty man.
Get control of the winery.
Yes. Well, their lines, strangely enough, are the mythology line, and that the Phoenix is in that, along with the Atlas Shiraz, the Argus Red Blend, the Griffin Red Blend, the Chardonnay, Electra Rosé, Echo Sparkling Pinot Noir, which I don't want. Then the Heritage line, which your cousin really liked the Tolmer Cabernet,
mm-hmm.
Highland Shiraz, the Francis Cab Franc, and the Genevieve Chardonnay. And I believe mythology, 20. Heritage, 30-ish. You know, then the Project. The Project 8 Shiraz Cab, the Windmill, Project Cabernet, and the Kunawara Project. I don't even know if those... you click on that, it doesn't even go anywhere. And then there's estate wines, which I believe are around $75-$80. And the Steining Cabernet, and then the Chertsey Cabernet Blend.
75 bones.
Yeah, on the website.
Direct from them.
It's not on wine.com. The only thing that they have for sale on wine.com is the Kunawara Phoenix Cabernet.
Hey, but you can sign up and get $25 off your first order.
You could. Free shipping for orders over $120.
You know,
which you can't order probably from in the United States. But
yeah, likely not.
No.
You know, for an entry price one at $20,
yeah,
in four different levels per se,
yeah,
with the top end going for $75, you might take a swing at that $75 wine if you could find it.
If you could find it, I've never seen it.
Right.
So.
No. It's doubtful it exists.
Yeah, probably not. Not here.
That'd be a question for Miss Falzgraf, soon to be Miss Dong.
Could be. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, we have a little OPP on there.
OPP.
Yeah, you know me.
It's bad. Bill DeVoe channel.
Yes, on Pandora. Which really isn't a thing. It's just an algorithm. But that's okay. And the Triple B's not on tonight, so we can say whatever we want.
It's a thing.
Can I be on the show?
Yes, Wilford!
Hi! Yeah, Triple, I can't say the word.
Wilford, why'd you write that lead into the promo on Twitter?
You're haggard?
Yes.
Because you are. Look at yourself.
Well, I'm just tired.
You're tired? You look like a sack of shit.
Well,
and a bag
I feel
of dicks.
Like that.
You look like a bag of dicks.
Oh, no.
And a sack of shit.
Wilford.
It's just the truth.
What's wrong? Haven't you had some mango chutney today?
No, I did not have any. They were out of it.
When you,
stupid sons of bitches.
You're like a Snickers commercial when you don't have your mango chutney.
Why? Yes, I don't eat Snickers. I like a whatchamacallit.
A who?
A whatchamacallit. It's a candy bar, dumbass. Whatchamacallit?
Of course it is.
I don't know what it's called. That's what I said. No, it's a candy bar.
Oh, Jesus.
It's got, like, shit in it. I don't know what it is. It's a candy bar. Whatchamacallit?
You're sounding haggard, Wilford.
I know. I am. It's rough. Nobody let me review this wine, but two other ones did. And I just like to read the winemaker's notes. It says, like a phoenix from the ashes, this Cabernet rises from the glass with a complex bouquet of plum, blackberry, and anise with a dusting of dark chocolate. It's a delicious contemporary wine, intense and long on the palate with savory tannins coating the mouth. It's best drunk with food, with friends, and with a roaring fire in the background. Yes. So, the wine enthusiast, they were extremely enthusiastic, overly enthusiastic. They provided this wine 94 of their points. And they wrote, this excellent wine offer, and I never got a job with the wine enthusiast. You know why?
Why didn't you get a job with the wine enthusiast?
Politics. Politics.
Politics?
Yes, and 17 sexual harassment lawsuits.
Well, that might be a different thing than politics.
I won 6 of them, damn it.
You, what?
Yes. It wasn't the truth 6 times. Oh, well, in my opinion. So, this wine offers aromas of blueberry, currant, terracotta, iodine. Okay. Iodine, savory spices, and umami-like seaweed nuance.
Wilford, you're losing your accent a little
bit. I don't know. Jesus Christ. How many things? It's like they were pulling things out of a hat. The Triple B would say that.
You stumbled on iodine. Is that part of your therapy? Is that a therapeutic?
It's Mad Libs. They're like, oh, shit. What are we going to do with all these words? We're going to put them in a wine review. Yes. There's lovely depth of flavor, tannin structure, and regional expression on the palate. Drink through 2040. Whoa. 24? No. It's a cellar selection. 2040, folks. Holy shit.
Well. Whoa. 2040 with the enthusiast.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, the Phoenix label looks suspiciously like the $75 one, but that's okay. Then the Wine Spectator. No, this is Tim. This is Tim Atkins. No, he's not going to read that. Wine Spectator. They provided it 92 of their points. And they said this has a terrific concentration with generous black licorice, Earl Grey, allspice, and dark chocolate notes. No terracotta or iodine.
No seaweed nuance.
No. Then mingle with cassis, spice stewed plum, and toasted herb notes. They didn't drink the same wine, damn it.
Do they ever?
God damn it. How can you have no descriptors that are the same? In reality, I think the wine enthusiasts were smelling a moldy pizza box they found in one of their storerooms. No, it's the Penley Estate's actual wine box. It's the cardboard box, but it's from, you know, the 2008 vintage that they found on the pallet, and they're sniffing that.
I mean, if you mix currant and terracotta, does that go black licorice?
I don't know. I think you can do that on a crafting table on Minecraft. I'd have to ask William about
savory that. Savory spices, allspice?
I don't know. Well, anyway, this shows plenty of harmony on the long, expressive finish with velvety tannins. Drink now through 2035. That's still a long time.
They're equally as hopeful.
2040. Well, in the glass.
It looks the part.
It does. And we're drinking it tonight out of the Venom Grand Cru Bordeaux glasses because we have two of these and there's only two of us.
Well, I think.
And by the way,
another reason to drink out of these is because you can.
The Triple B had a comment about the Phoenix, and I don't remember what it was, but I said I would steal it from her. So there you go, folks. Stole it. I stole her thought. I don't know what it is.
Oh, fair. Rob the wine guy, mainly me as well. I think was falsely accused by me. Was accused of stealing the Triple B's ideas and spouting them as his own during the podcast.
As soon as she has some, I'm sure I will. So,
oh,
I know.
Ow,
I know.
Easy,
I know.
It's a good thing she doesn't listen to the show. Oh, she does.
Does she? I think she does. People listen to it for her. And
they're going to tell on you.
That's all right. That's all right. Bring it. I had to tell her 2 times today to stick it up your butt. That's what I said.
What was the dispute?
I don't know. It was just my response. Stick it up your butt.
What was the query?
I don't know. But my response was, stick it up your butt. Because it's not like a, that's not like fuck off and something. It's not as bad because it sounds
it's
stupid.
Not.
Well, not really. Stick it up your butt. Some if you say it like that, you know, I think it's nicer than saying fuck off. I think.
Well,
she didn't like that. But if you say stick it up your butt, it's at least, you know, funny.
Okay.
Because you really can't stick things up. Well, you could, but that's you. But
there's.
You shouldn't. There's probably a lot.
I'm not going
to. I don't
why
go.
Why are we having this discussion?
I just was saying.
It's uncomfortable.
It is if you stick it up your butt. I've been told.
Oh, Lord.
Well, on the nose, I do smell cassis and blackberry. But I always smell those things on the well. Cabernet. Then again, I don't smell terracotta. But I don't normally sniff stuff that's terracotta.
Hmm. There's something dusty in the background there.
There is. But you know, I... Ooh.
There really is something dusty.
I like
there.
There's a floral element. It's lovely. Is that honeysuckle or is that dogwood?
I don't know the difference.
Neither do I. I was giving you the chance to sound
well,
smart.
Well, honeysuckle sounds sweet. Dogwood. It,
this is sweet.
I used to get a dogwood essence candle.
Mm-hmm.
From our Paul Robinette candle supplier.
It's a you know what? There's a vanilla candle behind me. That's what it is. Hold on.
Yeah, blowing it out is going to stop that. Maybe put the cover on it. Oh, Lord.
I might have been smelling a candle behind me.
You're sniffing a candle, all right. Hmm. No, I think there's something dusty in the background there. I don't know how to go terracotta, but...
I don't know how you
would. But
smells
blackberry. It's almost brambly berry, black
a little
berry.
Vanilla.
Is there a hint of strawberry with that blackberry?
You know, it smells like a brick. That's what it smells like. Just a standard red brick. Smells of concrete. Actually, there have been wines that smelled of concrete.
This smells like a Cabernet.
It smells like a racy Cabernet, and you would not peg the nose on a $12 bottle.
It's a rather enjoyable nose.
Oh, yeah. It's a good nose. And I'm a sucker for a good nose.
Stick it up your butt. Dry. It.
Young. Absurdly young.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll start off by saying, yeah, this wine, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt to give it a lot of time. I mean, I don't know what that ceiling is, where it's going to sweeten out and be, you know, a little more, you know, integrated. But it needs it.
This has, and it's not of a Shiraz, but Australian Shirazes can be a bit of beastly. They can be a little bit,
yeah,
beastish.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Australian Shiraz beastie of a cab.
Yeah, it does, but it has a little. I think it has a little bit of elegance to it as well.
It's a little lift on the palate.
A little bit, yeah.
It's big and beasty and burly from a tannin sense.
Yeah.
But the mouthfeel is lighter, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's full-bodied, though.
This is a bit of a dichotomy. Because the fruit's there.
But it's closed. It's a closed wine because it's too young.
For sure. And very dry.
Very dry. Very, very dry. Oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum.
This is not about what it is, but what it
will be.
Will be.
Yeah, definitely. But, and this has been decanting for over 2 hours now.
But right now, I wouldn't say it's an easy drink, but you appreciate it.
You know you're drinking something that's going to be good. You know that.
Yeah. And it is good now, but
yeah, it is.
If you've got a little bit of a feel for it,
mm-hmm.
that you know you shouldn't be drinking this now.
No.
It's just...
There needs to be a 30 behind the numbers. I wouldn't touch this until the 2030s, early 2030s, I think 10 years. Start drinking it and then, you know, drink it over 2 or 3 years then. But I think I would at least put 7 years on this thing before I would touch it. 5 to 7.
I think I'd sneak it after 5 and see what it is.
Depends how many. I mean, I have 3 of them. I'll probably buy another couple.
But how do you feel about a screw cap and aging? Do you trust it?
Supposedly that works just fine.
We haven't done it though, have we?
What?
What's the oldest that we've portrayed on the show?
Aged, we haven't aged a wine with a screw cap.
Exactly.
Because you said we haven't done it. And I'm like, no.
Stick it up your butt.
Okay, well, it's like, slow down. But you disturbed me there slightly. I was taken aback when you said that. But that's okay. We'll just move on.
No, we haven't done it yet.
No, yet.
We haven't.
Or not.
Aged a wine.
Thank you. With a screw cap. Well, let me think here. Well, I have the woodcutter, but I haven't had it that long. It's Australian. Supposedly, it's fine. I mean, they say that.
And this is a good one to test it at $19.
It is. I mean,
so why not?
Exactly. I like the je ne sais quoi of the cork. Now, sometimes though, we have problems with corks, but. You know,
I gotta believe you're more likely to have problems with the screw top than a cork.
But why? There's nothing for it to react with, I guess is the point.
Air penetration?
Well, it's sealed.
Metal has expansive properties. It does, and it can become damaged, and it just does. There's
well, so can corks, though. Corks can fail.
True. Corks do fail.
I think you have about as... I mean, I think that's even up. I mean, you don't see... Then Petrus isn't going to have a screw top anytime soon. But
I just think about the penetrations just involved in the twist-off cap. And there's weaknesses to it. In my opinion, there would be more weaknesses to a screw top cap on a bottle of wine than a traditional winemaker that knows what they're doing corking a bottle.
Well, are you saying the women that make this wine don't know what they're doing? Is that because they're women?
I think they know what they're doing. I think there's a reason that this is a screw top and not a cork.
This is Australian. let me answer why. I mean,
up the butt?
Up your butt.
Down under?
Stick it up your butt.
No, that's just...
Yes.
I'm leery.
Oh, are you leery?
I'm leery of the screw cap and aging.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, this is a good one to age.
You should write an article about being leery about the screw cap. We have a website. We used to write articles.
I'm leery.
We're also lazy. But I used to write shit all the time. I have really long articles. I haven't even published yet.
I don't think it's article worthy.
I think I would like to.
Research worthy.
I could do counterpoint. Point, counterpoint.
Used to do that.
I probably, though, just divulge into personal insults. But let's do that. I want that. I want that. I want you to write an
divulge
article.
Divulge into personal insults?
I might. But you go first. We'll do
kind of like the Times op-ed with
yes, and then
the
I'll,
Republican view and the
point,
Democrat
counterpoint.
View.
Yes, yes. You go first, write yours, and then I'll write mine.
Well, the ideal would be you write them simultaneously back and forth.
I need to know what mine's counterpoint. So I'm responding. It's
but
a debate.
Then I counter your... Minuscule.
No, well, I won't
point.
Publish that.
See, that's
the point.
No, that's not the point.
It is the point.
What's your point?
I think that's a good idea. People would dig it.
Yeah, we haven't done it yet.
Well, you might. Oh, then I'll just ghostwrite one for you and say it's you. Hey, Scott. Hi. And it's going to have all sorts of spelling errors.
Yes, I'm the one with the spelling problem.
Well, you will in this article. You'll even misspell your own damn name.
God, it's easily done.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I can do that.
Back to the wine.
Yeah.
How do you describe these tannins? They're not chewy.
They're not chewy. They don't come across as chewy. Let me go. Grippy.
But there's an inherent dryness about the wine that promises well for this development of these tannins.
Well,
even.
Let's,
as you said, young.
Let's take a step back. And I need some water because this pretty much rips you apart. But let's break down the wine officially. I'm gonna pour some in my glass. Okay. Let's break down the wine. What?
I'm pouring in my glass.
You have about the same.
I'm pouring in my glass.
Well, you don't have hands. Bite him, Bo.
But I have a poison ivy issue with my left hand. I can't pour with it.
That looks like syphilis to me. It's kind of gross.
You would know what it looks like.
Yeah, I've been around you. Drippy dick. Okay. Oh, Becky said we can't say drippy dick, can we?
I don't say that, so you just tend to draw pictures of it.
A drippy dick? I've never drawn a picture of a drippy dick.
Tonight you haven't.
No. That's disgusting. I'm not going to draw pictures of venereal diseases.
Tonight. Anymore?
I don't.
Or just tonight?
Not that. I think that is just too, it's blue humor. Isn't that what the term is?
No, it's your,
by the way,
pastime.
Congratulations on your personal hero being released from prison. Good job. You're serious?
How did that happen?
It happen?
How did he get discriminated against?
He didn't. I mean.
No. They ruled he was discriminated against in how his trial proceeded. Of course, we're talking about.
Let's just say the prosecutor,
Bill Cosby,
should have known better than to. I mean, okay, prosecute at all cost is not what we want as a society. I'm an attorney, by the way, folks. Just so you understand, it makes sound strange that I'm actually smart, but I've been told
that doesn't. Make
but I guess that's the point.
That
it was. Quite frankly, means to an end is never acceptable in the legal society because it could be, slippery slope is the term, but a means to an end, that's basically vigilante justice. That's not what we're about.
What about the 12 juries of his peers and all of that? That said, oh yeah, he did it.
Well, he wasn't supposed to. He's old. He's almost dead anyway. He spent 3 years in prison. Go spend 3 years in prison and tell me that's fun. It ain't.
For sure.
Yeah, another 7. He probably would have died in prison, maybe. But he's not going to live that long. His name, what the hell? It's not like anybody's going to go around him. So, but he's not vindicated. I mean, come on.
And I got to believe that this will prompt some other folks to pursue some paths that otherwise weren't pursued. We'll see what happens. My take is the story's not done yet.
From what I understand, the reason why they tried to press her charges forward, because there's the only one that hadn't already, the statute of limitations hadn't already ran. That's the only one. So that's why they never tried to press any of these charges in the rest of them. They're too old.
I thought there was one of the states where there isn't a statute of limitations on sexual assault.
Nah, not that he committed it in. Let's just say that.
Mm.
There's nothing else that can be, that's really believed to be.
That's out there.
Yeah. Just pay no attention to him. Let him go sit in his house and eat Jell-O and just whatever. You know. And his wife. I support him. Come on, man. Even if it was consensual. How many women has he slept with? Really? Seriously? I don't ever understood that. He's still a bad guy. I mean, even if it was consensual, that's still not the act of a nice guy. So.
It's...
I think we've already covered that very effectively.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, I don't care if they all said they wanted to. It's still not the thing to do. It's a bad thing to do. So there you go. Morality here on the Wine Ball. But this wine, breaking it down. On the front palate, let's just drink this thing. Right now, for me on the front palate, there's a little bit of cassis tar in a nice sense, a bit of coffee, and then it goes through and it hits you up with a little bit of dark chocolate and mocha, which leads into the tannin.
Are you getting that hint of berry there?
Well, with the cassis, one could, I mean, you know.
It's right there with it.
Isn't cassis a berry? Mm-hmm. I mean, technically it is. I think, though, that will round out and you're going to find plum and blackberry eventually. That's what I see under there. I don't think that tar is going to linger. It's not going to be black olive. This isn't a black olive wine. Mm-mm. I think it softens into fruit. So some wines harden into black olive. There's some pleasant songs back in the day, by the way. What is this? SWV. Right here.
It was just that. It's just a groove song. This is a groove song. This is when you put on the car when you got a long drive.
True.
Very groovy. Yeah. I think that blackberry expresses itself a little bit with that blackcurrant edge.
I'm not going to argue that there isn't blackberry there.
I want to know who the person is that tasted iodine and put that taste in
mine. No, but tar, iodine, those things, you're splitting hairs. I can see why you might say iodine. I really do. There is a slight, there is that. I mean, tar and iodine, really, I think if you look at the flavor wheel, they aren't that far apart. I can see that on the mid palate. It rolls in there. I don't necessarily ever think of iodine because I don't taste iodine. I don't taste tar either. But I get more tar. It actually reminds me, there's a Brazilian beer. The only beer I know from Brazil. It's called Zingu.
Yeah, with an X.
Yeah.
Jingu.
Is it Jingu?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. It has a bit of tar on it. I can remember.
Supposedly it has lead in it. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Yeah.
I know there's a Korean beer that had formaldehyde in it, but that's about it.
True that.
Yeah. I didn't know. I never know.
So there's all these references to iodine taste in scotch, and some of the makers even promote that. But what's the taste? What's the iodine taste like?
I mean, it's not much.
Earthy, salty, metallic, antiseptic quality about it.
Mm. I mean, this isn't metallic. That's why I'm going more tar, because it's more peaty kind of, you know. That's the thing. The peaty flavor in scotch. That's the difference between scotch and bourbon, really. Bourbon isn't peaty, except for Buffalo Trace, which is a little bit peaty. This has a little bit of, just a light bit of peatiness, which I would equate to tar and wine. But if you're going to say cassis, black currant, blackberry, sure. I mean, you're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
It's unripe. I look forward to the plum kind of showing in the future. But that's for 50-year-old Rob and 92-year-old Scott.
Back to
life.
My original query. Describe the tannins a little more thoroughly.
Hmm.
They're calming down a little bit. Of course, this is a 2-hour decant.
Two and a half. And your cousin, he thought, well, obviously the $30 one was a little bit better, which it is. The Spectator gave it another point on there. I'm assuming it's a little more sussed out, maybe a little more evolved, maybe not quite as ageable. I have not seen that. Let's look at the review for that one. But Because this one is just a, it's just like the condensed, very straightforward wine, you know?
This has grown on me more and more as a drink now, though, I'll be honest with you. No. I would like to have some of this to put back, but...
You can drink it now, but it's like...
I guess what I'm saying is I'm really enjoying it right now.
I enjoy it.
It's a red wine, a big red... No. If you appreciate tannic structure being the dominant placeholder in the wine, that's what this is. It's got all those things that Rob described, and maybe a little more hidden back in there that would come out with time. But it's just, this sucker's all about the tannins.
Well, the Spectator said about the Penley Estate Tolmer, and it's $30. It was drink now through 2035.
So similar.
Similar, but it's also the 18, so it has another year bottle age. I wonder how good the 19 Tolmer will be. That might be something to look for. But Spectator says, well, drink now through 2035, so, you know.
Is that all? This is a higher rated for the Phoenix when you go year to year in the wine.com review.
Yes, section. Yes. Because I have the 18 as well. And yeah, it's not nearly 91s, I think, is what it got.
And I mean, 93, 91 for the 18. Mm-hmm. Parker, our friend Bobby, 91.
The thing about all of them is, the 18, drink now through 2035. They just even Parker, he gave the 18 a 90. He said it should drink well for 5 to 7 years, perhaps longer. They all recognize the ageability of this wine, and it does have that, and that's something that's unique. I mean, you're not going to find that in. We always look for these wines. I mean, to say that the Penley Estates is collectible is a bit of a. I mean, there's laugh track. I don't have one of those, but.
Well, if you're talking about putting it down for 10 years.
This is the thing.
What are you doing?
What are we collecting? Are we collecting to resell or collecting to have a really cool experience 12 years from now? That's what I do.
Yeah, but.
I mean, and so I'm not trying to resell shit or make somebody or, you know, have some, you know.
But I think when you talk about collecting, it means inherently you're going to hold on to it and age it.
That's what we say, yes. I'm not trying to get in some magazine or something like that. But in reality, for me, it's, yeah, I want to have a special occasion or some enjoy it down the road. And I set it back and I hold it. Irrespective of what its retail cost was, I give a whirl on it.
That's the best part about finding something that you could put some time on it.
Well, we know... From what we drink, and often the things that we collect are the things that we've drank. Once again, it's already gotten not all, but some of it. And a lot of it, actually. So a lot of the drink now stuff, I mean, like I bought some of that, the Vagelio, which sounds like a, you know, a yeast infection cream. It does, Vagelio. But the Malbec, I bought some of that. It was lovely. It was delicious. But we buy the Krios. I just drank a bottle of Krios on Friday.
Nice. You know?
Yeah. Honestly, the Chileans. I just did a bottle of Santa Carolina. The 18s. Both 18s. It just isn't doing something for me right now. They're coming off a little bit sour cherry and not interesting. I don't know why. I don't know. So I'm kind of backing off Chileans right now. I even did the Alpatagua Cabernet not too long ago. Same experience. I don't know why. I'm not getting that experience with French wines.
You're burnt out.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm picking up on a nuance. I'm just fixated on something in those wines that the Chilean wines have that other ones don't, and I'm not getting past it. It burns off a little bit, but it's just maybe I just needed to can them. I haven't been. They're pop and pour kind of things. And not all those wines aren't grand wines by any stretch of the imagination, but probably the best of the bunch is the Krios, but all the Santa Carolina. We like the Alpatagua Cabernet, but I mean, that's strange. Alpatog would never really has come back into stock either. I wonder if that is they've shifted their market. I don't know.
Or they've been discovered.
But Wine.com is a big retailer. You know? Have you seen them anywhere? They're not in grocery stores. Where are they?
I bet they're in big markets. You just found it locally, right?
I don't know. I saw something about 3-liter boxes from Alpatagua. I think they're readjusting their market, and they got bought by somebody, I think. But that's why.
That would be a shame.
It would be. But, you know, the one that's really good is the Pinot. The other ones are good, but the one that's really good is the Pinot. Really good is the Pinot.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I don't know. This wine, though, is interesting in the fact that you're trying to judge it. And we've done this before. Remember the...
Don't judge me.
We did a... a Napa Cab by Robert Mondavi. Just this regular Napa Cab.
Yeah.
Which used to be in the 20s and now is like 40, which is a stupid price for that. Don't bow at that.
Well.
But...
We didn't pay that.
No, Lord, no. I think we got it from through one of Steve's sources and we got it for like $17. $15.
And it was pretty good.
It's pretty good, but it's not as good as the Rodney Strong Cabernet's offerings. Alexander Valley and their...
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think Mondavi has some merit. What was the 50th anniversary line of his that he did? Oh, the Fumé Blanc.
Well, the Fumé Blanc is good, but...
The 50th anniversary one was kind of fantastic.
Historically. And I don't know that we've ever aired that episode. I gotta look that up. Historically, his Fumé Blanc is good. So
That was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Well, occasionally we have
up
a white.
Up your butt.
Up your butt.
Fantastic up your butt.
You get an up your butt. Just like that.
Yeah.
Butt.
Well, you stick it up your butt how you want to. I'll stick it up my butt how I want to.
No, that's fine, man. Freedom.
Buddy. Freedom.
With that, we're going to take a break. Back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott has some sort of wine spectator quiz. It's
about the wow.
Which, yes, and yeah, it's Snoop Dogg. And I'm sure this quiz will be quizzical.
It'll be Snoop Doggy.
But not whimsical.
Wine Spectator has a wine quiz, and we're going to quiz the wine guy.
Oh, you mean like Guess the Great?
It's a Your Reservation Awaits, a destination restaurants quiz.
Okay.
Here we go. 14 questions. You're on the clock, sir.
But what kind of quiz is this? I don't understand.
It's a destination restaurants quiz.
How would you have a destination restaurants? I mean, like, guess the restaurant? I'll get zero. Well, that's what we're...
From Fiola in Washington, D.C. to Atrio in Caceres, Spain, many destination restaurants charge guests a set price for their meal, only offering limited options and possibly wine selections for each course.
Yes, I know.
This is known as what type of menu? Carte blanche, price fixe, bistro, chef de cuisine.
Say the first two again.
Carte blanche, price fixe.
Second one, price fixe.
Price fixe.
Yeah, price fixe.
Commonly done in New York City, you see price fixe menus. French City Lyon has produced many premier chefs, including which of these culinary all-stars known for the New York restaurants Daniel and more recently La Pavillon?
What? Say that again.
Lyon has produced many premier chefs, including which of these culinary all-stars known for New York restaurants Daniel and more recently La Pavillon? Paul Bocuse, Fernand Point, Daniel Boulud, Alain Ducasse.
Alan.
It's Daniel Boulud.
I don't know. Sorry, we had to break there quickly. Bo had a stuffed elephant, and he was shaking it.
He loves that elephant. And why does he attack that elephant?
I offered him a piece of cheese in trade, which he quickly gave up the elephant, and then I ate the cheese in front of him and took the elephant.
You're a bad man. So you're one out of two so far.
Labradoodles are stupid.
You're failing. Okay. Well, you're one out of two, so you're failing, so you're stupid, too.
Is there a curve? You knew that last one.
I named it.
Oh, did you have it in front of you?
No, it didn't show the answer until I pushed the button.
Oh, you cocksucker. Go ahead.
The cellar at Tennessee Restaurant and Hotel, Blackberry Farm, holds a vast selection of noteworthy bottles from across the globe, including Syrahs, made by this country's Penfolds, Yalumba, and Darenberg.
Australia?
South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, or England?
Australia. And do they understand
they call it Shiraz?
It's Shiraz, yes.
Was that a trick question, Wine Speculator?
They're just stupid.
Yeah, it's the Wine Spectator, so easy there.
Wow, they have Yalumba Shiraz? Is it their $11 one?
Aisha Ibrahim recently became executive chef at Conli, located in which of these cities? That's also home to noted restaurants Wild Ginger and Metropolitan Grill, which also gave the world grunge music and Starbucks.
Seattle.
Too easy. Shouldn't know. Wild Ginger gives it away. A lot of people know about the Wild Ginger in Seattle.
It sounded very hipsterish.
I almost didn't give you that. Give it away clue.
That would be cheating.
Starbucks. No, would not be cheating. Oh, you don't cheat at games. Not only is this restaurant / wine shop, Wally's in Beverly Hills, linked to one of the U.S.'s top wine auction houses.
Sotheby's?
But it's also owned by the owners of this jeans-focused fashion brand.
What? Say that again.
It's also owned.
The whole question.
By the owners. Not only is this restaurant wine shop, Wally's, in Beverly Hills, linked to one of the U.S.'s top wine auction houses.
Okay.
It's also owned by the owners of this jeans-focused fashion brand. Vineyard Vines.
Okay.
Guess. Juicy Couture. Or Penfield.
Vineyard Vines.
That's not a jeans
no,
company.
It
it's Guess.
Guess
oh,
yes.
My gosh. You could have said Juicy Couture was also...
That's
sort of known for their jeans.
Oh, I thought I just know that as like a perfume thing.
They do everything.
I don't know.
Juicy. Many noted restaurants sadly closed in 2020-2021, including New York destinations Del Posto, Ariole, and this former speakeasy with a hidden wine cellar. 21 Club, Grand Central Oyster Bar, The Campbell, Al Capone's House of Pancakes.
The Campbell.
The 21 Club, sir. Oh. The Angus Barn in Raleigh, North Carolina, offers diners a refined, cultural, rural dining experience, but as a lounge for guests to enjoy which of these classic wine accompaniments? The Angus Barn in Raleigh, North Carolina. Does it have a chocolate bar, a cigar bar, mints bar, or tapas bar?
Tapas.
Cigars, actually, which, you know...
Mints?
Yeah.
Who the fuck has a mints bar?
No, it has a cigars bar.
But what was a mints bar?
But who has a cigar bar for wine also?
So. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Which of these bi-coastal chefs has left a lasting influence on U.S. dining with restaurants? The French Laundry and Per Se. Aisha Arrington, Thomas Keller, Christetta Comerford, or Charlie Palmer?
Charlie Palmer. This is the only name I know.
Thomas Keller, sir. I had that one.
Okay.
Lively Wine Spot, Antica Bodega Del Vino. Yes, I did. In Verona, Italy, is owned by producers of this powerful regional wine made using partially dried red grapes.
Amarone?
Amarone del Valpolicella.
Yeah. Which
Bingo.
Triple B has never had.
After temporarily closing its door to the COVID-19 pandemic, New York's 11 Madison Park reopened in 2021 with which of these surprising twists? For the first time, it would offer exclusively plant-based cuisine. It would only be serving natural, vegan-friendly wines.
Barf.
Most of its wine and beer options would now be made in-house.
Barf.
It would be switching to a completely gluten-free menu.
Fuck cares. I've stopped caring.
Up the butt.
Yeah, up your butt.
Sir.
Which one is it? Because I don't care. Gluten-free.
Gluten-free. For the first time, it would offer exclusively plant-based cuisine.
Oh, fuck you and your ass. Fucking.
At least gluten-free, you know, there's a health-conscious reason.
Oh, fuck them, those hippie pricks. Go ahead.
Your wife's celiac and needs to be gluten-free, sir.
Yeah, but that's not plant-based. She eats meat.
But that's what I'm saying. If
it was gluten-free, it'd be all right. It'd still be pretentious because they're not celiacs. They don't even know what that fucking is. It makes you healthier. If you're a celiac, you twits.
It's probably a good idea for us all to limit our gluten.
Why? Why?
There's
what?
There's biological reasons, sir. Which of these famed New York native actors is partial owner of Manhattan Steakhouse Tribeca Grill? I know the answer to this, too. Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson, Harvey Keitel, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
That's correct, sir.
It was a guess. But.
Celebrated restaurants Casa Don Alfonso and Robuchon au Dome share a wine cellar at Grand Lisboa Hotel in Macau, China. Approximately how many bottles does it contain?
7.
5,000, 50, 500, 5 million.
5,000.
Wrong. 500,000.
You didn't give that as an option. You said 5 million, 500. And 5,000. You didn't give me that, you
Lord,
dickhead.
I skipped it. Well,
retard.
Didn't matter. You didn't say you weren't even close.
Well, it wasn't the option. I would have said 500,000.
Yeah, of course you would.
By the way, that's a warehouse. It's not a cellar. That's
no
a,
shit.
You don't have a
500,000 bucks. What about 5
that's
million?
It's a warehouse.
Bottles?
You
well,
can't.
Well.
You know, we have a warehouse. We have a wine. No, it's a warehouse, dickhead. You have pallets.
Yeah.
You don't have that in temperature control.
Are you saying you don't believe them?
Yes.
Next thing you're going to say, freaking the COVID started in a lab. I don't know. What are you going to do?
What?
Which of these cuisines can you enjoy at Commander's Palace? Alongside jazz brunches and a wide selection of large format bottles.
What'd you say? Jazz brunches?
Which of these cuisines?
What is that? What is a jazz? What is a jazz brunch?
What do you think a jazz brunch is?
It's not something I want to attend.
Have you ever gone to a jazz Sunday night wine tasting?
Like why is
Barcelona,
that?
They have a Sunday night jazz.
Okay, but that's fine. Do they play jazz where you eat eggs
brunch?
Benedict?
Yes. So that's a weird. Jazz brunch.
Nobody
sir.
Really likes jazz. Though.
No, everybody likes jazz but you.
No. But I don't
you
mind
don't
it.
You don't understand it.
There's a difference. There's jazz, which is fine, and then there's smooth jazz, which is something
no,
completely different.
That's different.
Yes, it's terrible.
Anyhow, which of these cuisines can you enjoy at Commander's Palace? Cantonese, Creole, Lebanese, or Portuguese?
Cantonese.
That's correct. No, it's wrong. It's Creole.
That's fucked
I was thinking
up.
Of a place in San Francisco, and that's obviously not the right answer. Last but not least, like another world-famous restaurant in Copenhagen, Geranium is a Scandinavian hub for which of these wild gastronomic movements, nouvelle cuisine, foraged ingredients, note-by-note cooking, or Mediterranean fusion?
What's note-by-note cooking? I'm going to say foraging.
I think that's correct.
I'm just guessing because it's stupid. But
no, it's a very...
I'm going to start a new trend, dumpster diving.
Your score is 43%, sir.
That's not bad for those stupid, obtuse, retard, fucking dumbass questions. Retard's a bad word. I apologize. But
no,
fuck
you
it.
Don't. No, you don't.
Hey, Wine Spectator, up your butt. Why did they do that? That's boring. What person... You know what? The one person that got 100% on that quiz...
Wrote it.
That, but somebody else that doesn't? Really? They're the first person that you know, in the revolution that we're going to take out because they're just not a good person. You're just too obtuse and too up your ass. How would you even know what all that shit is? Why? It's so superfluous and just bougie. It's just too much for me. I'm a common person. Regular folk.
That was fun.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, that was fun.
No, the ones that are good are the ones where it's like, what am I tasting now? Because those are challenging. I normally get them right, but...
Well, we'll go to another one next time. In our next episode, we'll quiz the wine guy on Know Your Grapes.
Do one real quick.
No, that's for another time, my friend.
Do one. We'll do one for you. Because I actually have a membership. You don't.
Sir, we have to get on with the show and review this wine.
We don't have anything better to do. See, Scott doesn't know because I'm a member of Wine Spectator. God knows why. I know why because I don't know how to cancel the online membership, so I still am on there. Yeah, you know, $59 a year. Like, oops, so there it is. Oh, too late now. I'll get it next year. Oops, missed it. Oh, there it is. Yep. All right. Wine IQ. This won't take very long.
There's some interesting little quizzes.
That wasn't.
Well, I wanted to show that you don't know all.
There's a bunch of different quizzes.
There really are.
No. Their quizzes can be good. Just not those. There we are.
Top vineyards worldwide. Know your grapes.
Here we go, Scott. Tasting note.
Oh.
Hans Walford, I'll read it for you. Fresh and juicy, with good cut to the red currant and dried berry flavors that bring, I'm about to barf, that feature bright minerality. Ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. Let's work together on this. So, fresh and juicy, with good cut to the red currant and dried berry flavors that feature bright minerality. Ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. The fun thing about this, when you select it, it's going to tell you why you're stupid. So, our choices are Carignan, Merlot, Syrah, Tempranillo, and Zinfandel.
You absolutely lost me with Wilford Wong there. I did not follow.
So fresh and juicy, with good cut to the red currant and dried berry flavors that feature bright minerality, ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. Carignan, Merlot, Syrah, Tempranillo, and Zinfandel. What does that sound like? Well, it's not Zin. I know that.
Okay.
It's not Merlot.
Let's go with the Carignan.
I was going to say that, too. Carignan would be what I'd pick there. Okay. So, country of origin. Australia, California, France, Spain, and Washington.
Wait, so this is the same tasting note?
Yes.
Go again, please.
Australia, California, France, Spain, Washington.
France. If we're sticking with Carignan.
Mm.
What do you got?
Well, Carignan is not normally associated with Spain or Washington, right? As a single varietal, it's not well known in Australia.
As a single varietal, it's really not well known anywhere.
I think France, but then again, it's a single varietal. It would have to be.
You could have an oddball producer of Carignan anywhere.
We'll say France, but I don't think it's France. How's that sound?
Okay.
Appalachian Hills. Or Appalachian. Horsehaven Hills. If we already said France, so it can't be. Languedoc, which it has to be. Margaret River, which would be Australia, which is not. Rioja. No. Sierra Foothills, Sonoma County. So it has to be Languedoc.
That's what
I could see that.
Yeah. But it's going to be Sierra Foothills.
No.
Watch.
I don't. A select age. 1 to 2 years old.
What?
3 to 5 years old. 6 to 9 years old. And 10 or more years old. Now, by the way, Scott, there's been many occasions where I've got all of them right.
You got a good
one. It wasn't fucking Carignan, but.
Well, you got to go 1 to 2.
Let's go 3 to 5.
Okay.
Here we go. Submit. Oh, okay. We got one of the four correct. what do we got here? Show me the answer. We got one of the four correct. All right, here we go. It is. Oh, my God. Okay. First of all, it was a Merlot.
Okay.
They said, Carignan is, and this is the thing. It said, this juicy red offers red currant and dried berry, blah, blah, blah. We can start by eliminating Syrah, a grape that makes deeply colored, full-bodied reds with bold tannins. Well, they haven't ever had anything by Charles Shaw, and they know that's not true, but which doesn't seem like a good fit for our fresh and juicy wine. True, but Merlot, I don't normally equate to fresh and juicy.
Not.
We're also missing Syrah's olive and bacon notes.
Okay.
Tempranillo can show minerality, yes, and spice, but it often features leather, wood, and tobacco flavors, depending on the age, though. I mean. And Tempranillo's firm tannins aren't a good match for our wine's creamy finish.
Okay.
We'll have to look elsewhere. Zinfandel can be made in a juicy style with berry notes. We're getting close. Unfortunately, Zinfandel rarely shows our wine's bright minerality. That's true. We're also missing the grape's characteristic jammy and pepper flavors. That's stereotypical because not all the time is it jammy and peppery. Carignan is often medium-bodied with bright acidity, plus abundant berry, herb, and spice notes. It can display minerality accents, too. While this sounds right for a wine, we're missing Carignan's cured meat note. Maybe another grape works better? They've never had Carignan by Turley, and that doesn't have that.
The creamy finish doesn't make me think of Merlot.
Well, they think it does.
I mean,
the wine is Merlot.
No, you know, I'm thinking about the Pride Merlot we had. It did have kind of.
Yeah, that's from oak, though. By the way, it's from California.
Okay.
It's from Sonoma County.
Okay.
And it's Kendall Jackson's Vintner's Reserve. Jesus.
It just goes to show you how difficult it can be.
And I agree, Scott. I mean, it is so, yeah, I don't know. That is not something. We've had Kendall Jackson. None of those things suggest Kendall Jackson.
Well.
But that suggests that their reviewer knew what they were doing, and often we know that's not the case.
You know, I don't know. I've never ever done the Vintner's Reserve Merlot.
I have. It doesn't taste like that. It doesn't. It doesn't taste like that.
But, you know, you think about the Sonoma Cutrer.
What about the Sonoma?
Or the Ferrari Corona. Why do I always mix those two up? The Ferrari Corona Merlot.
Yeah.
It does kind of have a creamy finish.
Well, it does, but that's because of oak.
Well, that's fine what it's because of, but I miss the creamy finish in oak. And yeah, when you think back.
I don't know.
When you've got a well-oaked Merlot, it does come across as a creamy finish, or it can.
Yeah, but I don't know if Kendall Jackson's Vintner's Reserve is ever described as well-oaked.
Or creamy.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, so the 2019 Penley Estates Phoenix Cabernet from Coonawarra in Australia. We're going to go over to Scott, who's going to give this wine a review. And by the way, we've drank it very quickly. We enjoy it.
I don't know about quickly. It's been over an elapsed period of time, so.
I know, but we would have drank it faster if we weren't trying to pace ourselves.
The longer this sat in the glass, the more I enjoy drinking it now.
Yeah.
We've talked about this being young and needing time, and it surely has potential for aging. But I be honest, I might have trouble setting this back for an extended period of time. I enjoy the tannins of this wine so much. It's I don't want to say brusque, but they're big, bold, but I really like them. They just envelop your tongue. They're dry,
mm-hmm.
But the wine's texture is inviting. It's full-bodied, but yet it has a lithe feel about it.
True.
I don't know where to score this. I think I'm going to go 90. I don't know how much to give it for potential. It's not the most complex wine as it sits before us today, and
I think it will take care of that. That's what you're going to see evolve.
And it does have components that we're pulling out, mm-hmm. but they're all on that front palate side. I'd like to see more out of the mid palate, but you know, again, as it evolves, maybe it will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I got as much of the chocolate mocha thing going on as you did. I am a sucker for, I don't think it expresses a minerality, but that tar, earthy component, that's the other thing that, I don't want to say surprised me about this wine, but I like, and I grabbed hold of that. That's where I'm at, a 90, a solid 90. Highly recommended, and even though I'm leery of aging a screw cap wine, buy this, set it back, set it down for a couple years.
Several.
At least.
Yeah. I'm also actually at a 90. I think it's a 90. It's a Hall of Fame, by the way.
I like it for the Hall of Fame.
Well, two 90s. I don't think Triple B would have given it a 90. What do you think she would have given it? I'd say 88. I think it's what she would have given it.
I don't know.
It's not her thing.
Well,
I think it will be her thing in 7 years. It's just not her thing today. She's not one of these people that says, I like an unevolved wine, which is perfectly acceptable position, quite frankly. But
I think she could appreciate that it's got the potential for aging. And I think she would score it higher because of that.
I don't know. I think she'd give it an 88, but that's just me. I would give it a 90.
I think you're just being bitter because you're font to steal her ideas.
Well, yeah, there's a Phoenix thing. She made some sort of Phoenix comment. I don't know.
Hey, they made the finals.
They did. That being said, lovely wine. Needs time. So if you have some time, give it to this wine. This is like the wine that we talk about. It's the unicorn. It's the budget price wine that is ageable, that would benefit from age. That is, from a novice standpoint, if you're going to buy four or five bottles of a Cabernet to sit back, this is what you do. If you drink a lot of wine and you like to age stuff, buy yourself a case of this, set it back. You know, pick up on it 5 years, then 7 years, then 10 years. It's a good drink. It needs complexity, as Scott said. It is a four-note pony currently. The four notes, though, are very, very tight and compact, and we can see what's underneath there. I will look forward to the fruit sussing out. I will look forward to the wine lengthening. But it's got all the elements it needs. When you're talking 94, that's an enthusiast 94. But I think Parker has been given this 90s, 91s. And I think that's where we're at, too. Yeah. We're the Parker. And I'm sure he probably has reviewed it since then and given it about a 90, 91. Deserves that all day long. It's a good wine. Tip of the cap to Penley Estates. We are going to look for your other things down the road. Maybe your better ones. The Tolmer. I would love to buy that.
Yeah.
If I see the 20, I'll buy it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to buy this.
I already have.
I think I need to buy it again.
You haven't.
I haven't.
No, I have.
I think I need to put it in order with my cuz. At those Costco prices.
When are you going to get that from him?
I need to make a visit out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know it. Never get around to it. So you're going to have to buy it from wine.com.
Nope. Couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. I think
I'm putting an order.
I'll probably
pick me up five bottles.
No, please. He's not good.
He's got some Turley back.
He's not good for it.
Oh, ow.
That's right.
Easy.
That's right. I said that.
You're bitter because you had to wear your Penn State shirt and you still have it. And
no, I don't. I don't know what happened to that. That's a nice white undershirt. By the way, Scott, let's just talk about this. You were wearing, you don't understand. I don't understand. You dress like local sports teams. Right now, you're wearing a Columbus Crew hat with a Blue Jackets pullover.
Yep.
Is it the same? See, Scott wore this Blue Jackets pullover to an Ohio State Penn State game, but he was wearing a black Ohio State hat that was blacked out. So he was wearing blue to a Penn State game where we're Ohio State people.
It was a...
You could have worn red. I wore red.
I don't have a red pullover.
You could have bought one.
I could have bought one.
It's a shocking thing. You use money to convert them into items that then you could utilize
so
later.
Let's point this
you
out.
You go
so
to a store to do that.
Who bought an item while we were at the Penn State game? Whose colors was it?
It was white.
And what did it say on it?
I actually don't remember.
Penn State.
Yes, but I put it underneath a red Ohio State
nonetheless,
shirt.
Nonetheless, you and bought looked, and wore
I looked
Penn
good.
State.
Well, I thought it looked good. Afterwards, I saw pictures of myself at the same time, and I was very fat. But at the time, that was a medium, and so it really kind of compressed my fatness. So I looked better because of that very, very, very tight shirt.
Yet I wore a Columbus Blue Jacket.
Which is blue.
Windbreaking pullover.
Which is blue.
Which my cousin just returned to me because I didn't wear it during the game, and I had an Ohio State shirt underneath that I wore to the game.
Well, you would have, but you put it on the bottom of a truck bed, and then they piled all the stuff from the tailgate on top of Scott's windbreaker, and he cried and said, would you unload your truck so I could get my windbreaker? And his, you know what his cousin said? Stick it up your butt. So, folks, for Rob the One
Guy, left it in the cab.
Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.